The Big Scottish Football Podcast.
Hello, Happy New Year, and welcome to episode 160 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Stephen Mill. Hope you're doing all right. Hope you had a good festive period. And I'm joined by the man whose Twitter account only follows Katie Price. It is the returning Gordon DL, who obviously we were meant to be on last week, but unfortunately, Gordon, you weren't very well.
Yeah, so. I had a slight virus over Christmas. But I had my Christmas dinner. Everything was great in Christmas, but...
Was it related to the Christmas dinner?
No, it was not. No, it was just a virus that I got at the weekend, and it sort of floored me for a few days, but I was able to get looked after with my great partner. She looked after me. She works with the NHS, so I was in safe hands.
Good.
And then I had a great Hogmanay New Year.
Any big news break over the festive period?
Not at all.
You didn't appear in the papers or anything?
Unfortunately, through this programme I did.
I've learned
a valuable lesson. don't lie and exaggerate.
Yes.
And that's exactly what I did. And someone cleverly put a great headlines to it, and it got blown out a little bit of proportion. So I've learned my lesson, let me tell you. Yes. So I'm getting into the new year
as a new man.
Telling every single bit of truth.
Yeah.
And no exaggerations, no lies. And I hope everybody had a brilliant time. But like you, I think we're all glad to be back to normal.
You know what? I think it's great to be back. It's good to be back. John, how are you? How was your festivities?
I'm good, thank you, Stephen. It was very quiet, you know. My kids are all grown up now, so I hardly saw them.
Were they just all on their PlayStations?
On their devices, as they say.
Did your boy go back home to England?
Thanks for that, England top, you bottom, Dad. That was really nice of you, thanks.
England Mackinac on the back, yeah. Well, that's good then. Any viruses for you appear in any newspapers or anything?
No, that was all right, actually. Not like Daz, who went back. Yeah. I mean, he phoned me up on a...
You went viral in a number of ways, actually.
But phoning, I got a phone call. I was like, why is Daz phoning me? He's like, have you seen the papers?
Know which to make this worse. Right, and I'm after him. I'll get him. Right, I'm not going. It's New Year, so I'm not going to criticise him. Somebody sat there, bored out their head. The papers, the stories are slow. They've looked at this podcast, right, which is brilliant. I hope they keep watching it, and they've fired out headlines and people thought.
It was a current thing.
People.
This was 30 years ago.
And my. I took real stick for this, let me tell you, because people were then firing texts into my partner in the UK and stuff like that. And I'm going, read about what I said the story 27, 28 years ago, first and foremost, and then lie exaggeration after that, right? But I just caught the headlines. And then my fellow colleague, right, and I'm after him. I made a phone call to him. I says, what about journalism now? You're not allowed to just go out and have a little bit of laugh and exaggerate and stuff like that. Oh, I know. And now we know where Roger is. He's in the Sun, head of the Sun Sport. And he went, oh, I know, Gordon, it's terrible. I can't believe that. Obviously, everything's quiet. My God, we would never go down this road. 30 minutes later, it's in the Sun.
You basically tipped him off.
Exactly.
Did John Higgins not message you about it?
John Higgins and everything.
Four-time snooker world champion, John Higgins.
Honestly, my phone nearly blew up, mate, right? Okay. My family were on, they were distraught and they're shouting. I'm saying, oh my God, look. see if you can in this modern day when everybody's under pressure, right? See, we can't have a little laugh, joke, exaggeration. You're not harming anybody. Come on, it's a bad, bad world, isn't it?
It's a bad world.
So I've changed.
You've changed for 2026.
I'm definitely changing.
We're getting a serious Gordon DL for 2026. Thanks for all the shouts and all the messages since the last podcast a couple of weeks ago. Jean-Paul says, does DL jump about doing podcasts all day? You do like a podcast. You do Open Goal as well, don't you?
Yeah. I enjoy them. Mm-hmm. Enjoy them. Obviously, I need to now watch what I'm saying, but... I certainly enjoy them. I enjoy working with people that you know, you
you can fanny a bit with.
Yeah, like say I've never really worked with you before until the podcast. Hopefully we can change you going forward.
Gabs was great. Gabs was fantastic.
I've said that to the bosses.
I'm due a holiday, don't worry. I'm due a holiday, don't
but
worry.
But no, I like sitting, I like the mixture. I like the mixture of putting some, you know, the serious stuff out there, which is out there and people want to listen. And I like putting myself out there as well so people get to know you a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not the... people didn't know that before every football game I used to be ill,
yeah,
physically sick, because I'm that nervous a guy. Whereas some people look at you and think, oh, he's arrogant, he's gone with it, he's this, he's that. I'm not, I'm the most nervous person in the world. And I still, to this day, at the tender age of 63, still times, even my super scoreboard,
mm-hmm,
I get a little bit nervous.
And people didn't realise that what you're ultimately scared of is meeting your maker. Dying.
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, right, and a lot of people out there would be going, oh, well, unlucky. But when I went through that 2 or 3 days, my oxygen levels had come right down, and I thought, this is an ambulance job and stuff like that. And I kept kicking in, oh, no. You know what I mean? Oh, no.
This might be it.
I'm not even seeing the bells. I'm not even getting a bit of something.
So are you that ill?
Oh, mate, I put it this way, we phoned 111,
mm-hmm,
and we had to go through all the procedures, and we were literally, I would say about an hour away for an ambulance. It was that bad. I was absolutely floored.
So you don't know what, you think it was COVID or something?
I really don't know. And the reason I know how bad I am, the one thing I pride myself in is, I never miss my job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't turn up late, right? Never turn up late.
You're always early.
I never turn up.
You're not late. As early as Hugh Keevans. Hugh Keevans turns up about 4 hours early.
No, Hugh turns a day early sometimes,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
In fact, we were going on to do the show at 12 o'clock. And you know, on Saturday, we usually just donner in there about 5 to 12 with a cup of coffee. And we're looking about at 25 past 11. Hugh was standing waiting for a show to start.
In the studio
with his cans on. And you're going, it doesn't start till 12 o'clock.
So it was a bad couple of days for you in terms of your health.
About 3 or 4 days, but it'd be pure love and kindness with my partner helped me getting good over it. It was absolutely brilliant.
Well,
thank her very much.
If you're watching, Mr. Journalist or Mrs. Journalist, that's your headline for next week.
Exactly.
DL nearly didn't see the bells. Close to death, DL. Hello to Mike Bannerman, who, after Rangers lost at Tynecastle, it seems like a long time ago now, Glasgow keep on crying. DL has slated Hearts since day one. Irrelevant player, irrelevant pundit, who said if Rangers had won, they'd be in it. They lost. Nay luck.
Well, Rangers are in it, right? See, what people have got to get out there, right? And I'm going to be... I told you, January, honest. I don't care who wins, right? I would love Hearts to go and win the league because I think it'd be refreshing for our game, right? Mm-hmm. Our game needs someone to come in there and start challenging Celtic and Rangers. You look at Motherwell. Me personally, Motherwell, the best footballing team in the league by a country mile, mm-hmm, right? So I would love Hearts to go and do it. I don't care about Rangers. I don't care about Celtic. I don't care about Hearts. I like my local team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go and watch a lot of them, but I like them because I'm working in here. But I'm not one of these guys that'll sit and go, oh, I hope that team beats that team and I want to criticise that team. I'll only give an honest opinion.
Yep.
And listen, what's his name?
Mike.
Mike, I wish you all the best for New Year. Got it right up you.
Hello to Tony Henderson, still going on about nationality. Regarding place of birth being what your nationality is, what if you're born on a boat that's in the ocean or an aeroplane that's in flight? Do we know that, John? Have you managed to research that answer? Have you done anything about that?
No, I've not done anything about that. I would suspect, though. No, what?
What if you're born in international waters?
If you're born in... But then you're still going to be...
You can play for a lot of countries.
Like, exactly.
Would you say it's from where... No, it's where you're from. It's where you're from. That's nonsense.
But if you're born in international waters...
then a water baby.
Yeah, like, wait now. What nationality are you...
if you are born in international waters? Okay.
Uh-huh, what does it say?
If you're born in international waters, your nationality usually defaults to the country where the ship or aircraft is registered.
Oh, what?
So if you were born on a big cruise liner,
like Miami, you're American,
and it's registered in Miami or the Bahamas or something like that. Yeah. A lot of them are in the Panama as well is another one.
And most planes, I'm guessing, are Boeing, so kind of made in America, aren't they?
Yeah, well, possibly. But then it does say, but primarily get citizenship from your parents. So the vessel registration only matters if the child would otherwise be stateless. So you have to have a state. You have to have a citizenship. So there you are.
Right, so you'll take it off your parents.
Yeah. On a plane, a baby born on a plane over international waters usually gets the citizenship of the parents. If not, the plane's registration country laws might apply, but only if the children would be otherwise stateless.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So you've no problem with that.
Good. Right, Sebi says, who commented on Spotify. You can do that. Other platforms are available as well. Obviously, love your comments on YouTube too. What is actually happening? Gordon's driving around in eco mode, picking up random women in his car. Carol will have a new pair of earrings from Santa. That was after you got lost heading to Scotstoun.
Yeah, exactly, that was genuine.
That was
Thank you, Carol.
We've missed a lot. Celtic defeated at Motherwell. Hearts lost the Edinburgh Derby. Livy still yet to win a game since August. Julian Araujo has signed on loan from Bournemouth to Celtic, and Amura goes out on loan to Toko FC. More protests outside Celtic Park after the defeat against Rangers at the weekend. Airdrie have appointed Aaron Taylor Sinclair. Him of three names on a full-time basis. And Hamilton are under new ownership as Rob Edwards, Haverford West owner, takes over at Hamilton. So we've got a wee bit of light at the end of the tunnel. Speaking of transfers, we're back and Jim White is here. How you doing, Gordon? Nice to be back. I haven't spoken to you in the podcast before. How are you getting on, Daz? You know, me and you go back a long way.
Mate, I truly believe that Jim is coming on the show.
Jim is here. Jim's here. This is Jim. Jim's been on this podcast for years.
I fell hook, line, and sinker for that.
What do you mean? Jim's here. Jim's here for all the transfers. So, listen, what about this one? You'll be right into this. Jemai Simpson Pussy. He's away back to Manchester City. Any views on him?
Oh, it didn't really work out for a pussy, did it?
It absolutely did not. It did not.
No
so
delight to
only
pussy
played
in Glasgow.
For 64 minutes, Gordon.
Yeah, unfortunately, no delight to pussy in Glasgow.
Absolutely not. Right, Columbus Crew, you know, that's where Nancy came from. Their defender, Stephen Morea, he was at Celtic's defeat against Rangers on Saturday. Folk are saying he's signing for Celtic. What do you think?
Well, it's a possibility. Why is he there?
Do you think they need a defender?
I think they need more than one defender, Jim.
Okay, Westerloo head coach Isamay Chirai, formerly assistant at Rangers, says the Ibrox club have not bid for the 22-year-old left-back Tuur Romans. What do you think of Tuur Romans?
I can't concentrate.
Tuur Romans. Do you think Rangers need a left back? Oh, Chris, don't die.
Oh, they need please tell the story here. This has got to be told after you finish, Jim.
What do you mean? I'm here for the rest of the show. Right, so Celtic signing someone from Israel, Jocelyn Tabai, 20-year-old. He's a winger. That's what they need.
They need another winger, don't they? Where's your yellow tie?
I didn't get one for Christmas, so I'll need to get one for Easter or something. Rangers are after James Penrice. Good signing.
Good signing, Jim. Good signing.
Yeah, 27 years old, obviously. He was at Hearts and is at AAK Athens. Jim's losing his voice. Livingston are close to signing Ljubljana striker Alex Tam. You know Tam?
Tam's a great guy.
On loan at the end of the season.
He's well at Livingston.
Northampton Town are after Adama Sidibe of St Johnstone. He's a cracking player. And Sean Maloney is the bookie's favourite to be the Celtic manager. How about that? Because Wilfred Nancy's having a bit of a nightmare, isn't he, Gordon? What's your favourite thing about Jim?
Oh, that is absolutely brilliant, Jim. I've loved that, I've got to say.
There he is. Right, say goodbye to Jim.
Goodbye, Jim. Goodbye.
There he is. There he goes. Away at the door.
I cannot believe you two have stuck me up there like a kipper.
How do you mean?
Stitched me up like a kip.
How? Explain.
Mate, I thought that was brilliant. And I know you're very talented at things like this because I've heard you with Gary. But Big John come in.
Yeah.
Pain in the arse, John.
Yeah.
And said, I'll go and get Jim on the phone from TalkSport. I'm sitting here. I've wrote down a couple of questions I was going to ask him.
What were you going to ask him?
Just how he was doing.
Well, you could have asked him.
The last time I seen him.
When was the last time you saw Jim? Apart from today, when was the last time you saw Jim?
At the awards. Remember the awards in London?
Yes.
I had a good blether with him outside.
I spoke to him as well, yeah.
He's a great lad. I had a good chat with him. I've known Jim for a long, long time. But
yeah. Well, you could ask them there.
It was great to sit next to him.
He'd give you a lengthy answer, I'm sure.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you that. That was brilliant.
Okay. Right, let's get on to the football then at the weekend. And let's start with Celtic 1, Rangers 3. 6 defeats in 8 for Nancy. Celtic winless in the last 5 league games against Rangers. And it was yet another game of two halves involving Celtic, wasn't it? First half, they blew Rangers away. Could have been 4 or 5 at half-time. Second half, complete reversal. Rangers took their chances and went home with the 3 points.
Yeah, we've said that since he came into the building at Celtic Park that I always look at Celtic and I think, right, this could be their day. They got off. I thought they got off to a great start against Hearts in his first game. Right. Second half, Hearts tweaked one or two things. He's all over the place. Every single game seems to be the same. At the weekend there, you're looking at Celtic and Rangers were absolute red rotten, and all credit to Celtic for that. I thought their movement, their passing, they got their goal, chance after chance, should have been out of sight. And then it happens again. Second half, Rangers press a little bit higher up the pitch, bring on Diamande, go to probably a midfield three rather than Asgard just off. Squeezed them high and absolutely kill them. Absolutely kill them.
It was that way where I thought that, you know, I totally agree with you. I think Celtic in the first half created so many chances. They obviously still need a striker. Like, you know, as Jim was saying there, like they're after another winger. Why are you signing another winger? Get a striker in. And I know it's, you know, everybody wants a good striker, but if they had someone like a Kyogo or, you know, back in the day, like a Edouard or Dembele or someone like that, Celtic would have been out of sight by half-time. However, you're completely correct. Every time that this Celtic team comes up against a side that tweaks something or tweak a few things, don't know how to react.
No, it's not.
And they were wide open in the second half. Trusty. My God. My God. So bad defensively, wide open all the time.
See, a good manager sees what happens in the second half there. They go to a back four, right? They'll tweak. Look, everything's made out of this. He's come in, he's ripped everything up, he's went to a back three. I don't want a manager, any manager, to get the sack because managers are losing their jobs left, right and centre now. It's unbelievable. People are just pulling the trigger. I don't want this guy to lose his job, but modern day football is based in one thing now, right? Top clubs in England, Hearts are doing it. It's all about stats and facts and everything, right? And the data. If you come in as a Celtic manager, you want to play a back three just now. No problem, right? But if you go 8 games, you go 8 games and you've not cleared one clean sheet, right? And you've lost, was it 18 goals?
Yep, something like that.
Right, 17, 18 goals. You would look back and you would think, the previous manager played 7 games and lost 2 goals with a back four. It's there it tells you that right now with the personnel he's got at his disposal, they're not a back three team.
Yeah.
Right, so you can't keep thinking that it's going to click in for you, because it's not. You've got to get to, Rangers aren't the greatest side in the world just now, right? But the one thing about this guy is he's winning games. He knows how to get the best out of his team. He's making tactical decisions, like Diamande coming on. People say, oh, that could have been an easy one because Asghar get booked early and he was a bit worried. We've seen what happened at Hampden and everything like that. But he tweaked it in the sense that he brought Diamandé in as a three, so it was Raskin, Barron, Diamandé. He then pressed higher and he went at Celtic that way and got the reward. So the wee tweaks helped for him. I would look at a manager and say, right, went to back three, we were brilliant first half. We should have battered Rangers out of sight. It's not happening. We've got to tweak something. They've tweaked it. We've got to counteract him, yep. Right? That's what managers do. Top managers look and think, right, okay, they've made their move. It's like chess. They've moved their move. We've got to make ours.
Yeah.
I would have probably looked at a good manager there going, back four, change one or two, maybe, you know, the formation 4-3-3 again, matched up with their three in the middle of the park as a flat three. Get your wide men, get Maeda through the middle or out or try and stretch in behind them. But he seems to be found wanting. I think that's what's frustrating the Celtic manager.
Surely as well, though.
Supporter, sorry.
Is, like, that's all valid. But surely the players have to take a wee bit of responsibility here as well. Because when you're out on the pitch, especially if you're a really experienced player, you work it out. You work these things out yourself and you have to try and adapt it when you're on the pitch and change things as you're going along.
Yeah. Celtic are full bundle just now, from the boardroom to the players, the supporters are against the board, everything. You're right. I think the players are hiding. Like Rangers players done with Russell Martin. She's a player and I've been there, right? You'd rather your manager take all the flack than use a player take it, right? That's just natural. That's just been natural. They players, you're right. I said it at the weekend. Doesn't matter what the coach is standing on that touchline. They're making individual errors that's killing, right? Schmeichel should save that. I know that the wee argument is there's a wee clip, right? Schmeichel should save that. It gets down too slow. What Trusty's doing is beyond me, right? Trusty cannot keep backing off and marking the player there. Rather,
go to the danger.
Go to the danger. He's got to see if he goes to the danger and they slip it inside and they score. You've got to accept that, right? Yeah. You're hoping that maybe Tierney or somebody gets round. Doesn't he go to the danger? Individual, they lost two goals, I think, for set play, like throw-ins,
yeah.
Right. That's individual errors as well. But as a manager of Celtic, unfortunately for this guy, he can't walk in eight games and lose six of them and lose 18 goals without a clean sheet. You can't. As much as the players should take a lot of responsibility, but I look at the players and I think there's about easily four or five you could name playing out of position that don't know how to play that. Everybody, Ralston's a whipping boy, right? To be fair to him, he's a right back.
Mm-hmm.
He's never a right centre back. Maeda's never a number 10. You know what I mean? You look at players where he's playing them. McCown, left wing back.
But then in the first half they played really well. You like in that formation with those players.
Uh-huh.
But it's when other teams adapt and change things.
I think they played very well because I thought Rangers were absolutely honking. Right, I thought every one of their players, apart from Butlin, who was absolutely brilliant for him and kept him in it, I looked at every one of their players and I thought they were shocking, right? They were off it, right off it. And I know you've got to give credit to Celtic, but it was easy for Celtic to play against Rangers. Rangers were all over the place. They were all over the place. And you look and you think, I wonder what the manager's got to do at half-time. And he made his move. So when he makes his move, if you're a top Celtic manager, you've got to counter that move. I remember going back to Ibrox, and it's one of the best I've seen. We're sitting right above it, and Rangers are playing Celtic, and I think it's level pegging. And Celtic got a man sent off, and Graham Murty's in the dugout, and I'm watching Graham Murty, and it's like he's just won the lottery. We'll go and beat Celtic here. Brendan Rodgers, right, everybody's thinking, is going to put on a defender like they do and substitute a striker. He shouts, sir, Dembele, centre forward. P- puts him on the park, and I see Graham Murty turning round his bench as to say, what's he doing here?
Mm-hmm.
We've never seen that coming. Celtic, I think, went on and won the game. Right, because good managers counter other managers.
Yeah.
And that's what I think the problem is. And I'll tell you another thing. I read an article, and I'm... Listen, every pundit's got their own opinion, but I read an article sitting through there, and it's aimed at Chris Sutton talking about the fitness of Celtic players. Do you know what? He might have a point, because second halves, they're dreadful.
Mm-hmm.
They're dreadful. So I don't know... We were inundated with calls to get him out. He must be sitting here thinking, I've just come into a new country. My God, what a job this is now I've got. Because he's never been used to that.
Is he even going to get to Saturday against Dundee United? Is he even going to get that far?
I think so. Because I think they'd have pulled the trigger.
You think they'd have done it by now?
I would have let them.
We're sat here at 25 to 12 on a Monday morning. He's still there, as far as we know.
Yeah.
Well, Man United haven't hung about. They've sacked Amorim this morning. We'll get to Jimmy Tillin in just a wee second.
Uh-huh. If he gets by today, then I think the board are going to go with him. Right, they've already let him bring one of his players in. Apparently, he's a sort of right centre back as well. He brings him on and plays him wide.
Yeah.
Instead of maybe taking Ralston off, who was struggling, and to be fair, they were all struggling, mm-hmm. right, at that time. But he just makes baffling substitutions for me. I don't get him. Do you know, he looks a lovely, lovely guy, and I think he's trying his best. But can you remember the first game against Hearts, and I come in here on the Monday morning, and I says, all right, come on, it's a Monday morning, let's just throw something out there. And I said, he looks like he's in the wrong movie, and it was only one game.
Mm-hmm.
He's now 8 games, and I've not changed my mind. I still think he looks in the wrong movie, the guy.
Rangers, on the other hand, as you mentioned, bouncing back, obviously after defeat against Hearts a couple of weeks ago that we spoke about. However, they are 6 points behind Hearts now. Everyone's played the same games. Rangers will fancy their chances if they can strengthen in January, mm-hmm. and I think that is the case. I was hearing over the weekend that there will be money to spend at Rangers in the January transfer window. Because as you say, I still don't think this is a great, not even a good Rangers team, to be perfectly honest with you. I still think there's a lot wrong with it. Chermiti managed to get a couple of goals though.
Great for him, great for him.
That'll boost his confidence, obviously, but I still think there's a lot of surgery needed for that Rangers team to go on a proper run between now and the end of the season when it really hots up.
You've got to give him credit. He's done a brilliant job. He really has. He's took over a Russell Martin squad that, you're right,
they look so disjointed, and he's managed to organise them. Mm-hmm. He's managed to make them difficult to beat. They're not conceding a lot of goals. And if you don't concede a lot of goals, then
you've got an opportunity to win them.
Exactly.
He's stuck with the centre forward that everybody has been criticising since day one with the £8 million price tag. He rewarded him with 2 goals at the weekend. And every Rangers fan is now looking tomorrow night. Can he kick on from that? Because any striker will tell you, see the minute you get the first couple of goals at a new club, it just takes that pressure away from you. And he get 2 goals. I know he had a couple of goals, Cam Arnold and everything, but he was still, to get that at the weekend, especially against Celtic, 2 goals away from home, he should be flying, absolutely flying. I thought he played very well second half. I thought he was rubbish first half. Played very, very well second half, as most of the Rangers players did. But this guy's walked in there, and let's not be kidding, this is one of the most ordinary Rangers squads for a long time. There's a lot of guys in there that need shipped out, but he's getting a tune out of them. He's making big decisions because he left out Tavernier, mm-hmm. as well. He's making big decisions. Tactically, he looks like he's getting it right. Everybody looks like they're buying into the sort of thing that he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a Rangers fan, you're thinking, yeah, this is looking promising.
Back-to-back games against Aberdeen now, home tomorrow night at Ibrox, 8 o'clock kickoff live on the telly, and then this coming Sunday, mm-hmm. Aberdeen at Pittodrie.
versus Rangers. Two big games, especially now with Jimmy Tilleen not being there.
Yeah, you wonder. You wonder
what sort of reaction Aberdeen players will get.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, what they'll sometimes with a manager being away, players relax a little bit. They're going to Ibrox, probably well underdogs now. Mm-hmm. Nobody will really fancy them. So, look, they've still got quality in their squad, right? Let's not be kidded here. They're still quality. They're underachieving. 100% they're underachieving. But these will be two... I fancy them strongly tomorrow night, Rangers at home, right? But we all know, we've been to Aberdeen for years gone by. It's never an easy game at Pittodrie. No matter what the situation is, you wonder if they've got a new manager lined up and have him in Pittodrie before the game Sunday.
If I was to nail you down right now, Hearts, Celtic Rangers, Motherwell, who's winning the league? I'm reluctant to say Hibs. I think Hibs are...
And
to be fair, I think Motherwell...
They're in a good run.
I don't think Motherwell are going to win the league. I think they might have a big say on who wins the league.
it's like I would like to wait till the window closes.
Okay,
right? I think that'll be important. But now, Hearts are in a real strong position.
Hearts have a really nice run of fixtures mm-hmm. as well. I mean, in saying that, they are away to Dundee, who have won three in a row. On Sunday, but if Hearts want to win league championships, they need to go to places like Downs and pick up 3 points. Then they've got St Mirren at home. Then they've got Celtic at home as well. They've got Falkirk in the Cup the week before that as well. Those are three nice fixtures before mm-hmm. they play Celtic. If they can come out of them, winning two, putting Falkirk out of the Cup, hopefully, and then play Celtic at home, I mean... I don't think Nancy will be in charge of Celtic by then, so we don't know what Celtic that will be. Mm-hmm. However, they could really rack up the points here over mm-hmm. the course of the next month.
See, I think, and as much as people talking about, you know, about Hearts and me talking and down everything, I thought at the weekend that was a brilliant result for Hearts. Mm-hmm. People were starting to think, oh, it's only 1-0 and Livingston, and Livingston had a good chance at the end, you've got to say, but if you're going to win leagues... They're the kind of games that are so important to you. Look, Hearts dominated the game. They got their goal. Unfortunately, they can't get that one to take the rest of the pressure off them for the rest of the match. But they still end up getting 3 points. And you see, we covered it, and I think it was Fraser Wishart was saying that some of the fans were getting anxious. Derek was... That's what happens when... You're up there and the pressure starts to tell because the Hearts fans aren't having a go at the players or the manager and everything.
No, they're just nervous.
They're just nervous and anxious to go, oh, this is a great opportunity. They've seen what's happened to Celtic, mm-hmm. right? So that's a great opportunity for them. They're at home to Livingston. They're winning 1-0. They're just crying for that, desperate for that second goal.
Yeah.
Right? But all credit to them. They got 3 points, and if you look at these fixtures they're coming up with, of course you're fancying Hearts strongly again there. And all of a sudden, if Celtic and Rangers do drop anything, they're in a great position.
Yeah, they're 6 points clear at the top of the table, Hearts. And as I mentioned, their fixtures are pretty decent over the next month or so, but it's going to be an interesting month. Just very quickly on Livingston... Your man, owner of Livingston, the boy Ford, has come out and said that Martindale's job is very much safe. He is part of the plans and he'll be signing players this January. Mm-hmm. They need players in. They haven't won, as we always say, since August the 9th. They still haven't won 15 games without a win. But they're only 4 points behind Kilmarnock.
I think I've heard a wee rumour and... I think they'll show a couple of quid at it. Mm-hmm. I think it's only right, and I keep going back to it, right? We're all looking at the Celtic manager situation, 8 games in. Davey's sitting there. He's not won since August the 9th. He's down the bottom of the table. But the job that he happened to achieve at Livingston throughout the years, he loses his best players every year. He's got to rebuild. He's been up and down. He kept him in the Premier League for a right few years as well. I'm glad they're sticking by him. I really do. I'm glad they've got to back him. Because every week you get supporters on here going, we need to get rid of the manager. We need to get rid of the manager. We had it with Russell Martin since the minute he walked in. We've got it with the Celtic manager. Wilfred Nancy just now. The Aberdeen manager is gone. You know, Kilmarnock manager, gone. We've only just turned into January. Mm-hmm. And already managers are just getting sacked left, right and centre because of the pressure it's on clubs now. So it's nice for the chairman to come out and give them the backing. That means he'll be away next week.
Yeah, probably. Other big derby at the weekend, Dundee United 0, Dundee 1. So Dundee unbeaten in the last four trips to Tannadice now. And yeah, I thought Dundee played really well. I thought they were excellent. That's three wins in the spin now for Stephen Presley and Dundee, and I think he was quite emotional after the game, to be perfectly honest.
And rightly so. The amount of criticism that Elvis comes in for up there is incredible. You know, they didn't want him at the beginning, and then all of a sudden the run of games and defeats and the way they were playing, but they always had. They always look like a squad to me that they've got something in them that can pull out big results. Like, say, you talk about Hearts going up there. Hearts are no fancy that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Because you've seen other teams going up there in Dundee.
Celtic.
Yeah, turning it on. So, and to go down to their local rivals, 2 yards down the road, Dundee United, firm favourites to probably win that, turn them over, another victory. People had Dundee relegated months ago, right? Mm-hmm. Probably at the start of the season, had them relegated. I've always believed Dundee have got enough in their locker to stay in this league.
Well, I mean, now they are 13 points clear of Livingston. They are 9 points clear of Kilmarnock. That's mm-hmm. just what, if you put a run of results together, like 3, 4, 5 wins on the spin, that's going to happen. And all of a sudden, you know, Dundee are actually only 5 points off the top six.
It's incredible. It's incredible. We say it every week. We will be sitting here until the end of the season and that'll bump down like a yo-yo, because every team there, apart from right now, I would say Kilmarnock and Livingston, are capable of going and winning 3 games in a trot. Mm-hmm. Depends on their fixtures. And that changes things quickly.
Dundee United were 5 unbeaten before Saturday. Didn't play very well. But they're still in and around the top six, only 2 points off the top six. It looks like you've got your top five. It's going to be the top five. So it'll be Hearts, yep. Celtic, Rangers, Motherwell, Hibs. So that means you've got Falkirk, Dundee United, Aberdeen, Dundee at the moment, all going for that top six place. St Mirren obviously a wee bit further behind. We'll get to them in a second. But I think any one of those teams will fancy finishing in
the... Who'd you put your last coin on?
I still think Aberdeen should be favourites.
Do you?
Depending on
who their manager is.
Yeah. I don't think Aberdeen's squad is terrible. No. I think they're dull to watch. They were so bad under Tallini to watch. And barring the start of last season and obviously winning the Scottish Cup, it's been shite under Jimmy Tilley.
Yeah.
Like they haven't impressed me at all. However, I do think they've got good players.
Yeah, I think any of those teams that you're talking about, right down to St Mirren, because St Mirren have got games in hand as well, and yeah. We know the manager that they've got there, he can get results. And I keep going back to it, one or two players in this transfer window could just all of a sudden change everything for you.
St Mirren play Livingston tomorrow night, by the way, which is a huge game for both sides.
Yeah, exactly, because both of them need a win. But I do agree, I think right down to Hibs, that top five's cemented, and then it's up to the rest of the teams to go and see if they can get into the top six.
Yeah, Motherwell, let's stick with them then. 2-0 winners against St Mirren on Saturday. Stephen Robinson was not happy at all after the game. A complete reversal from the semi-final of the League Cup, where St Mirren dished out a bit of a thrashing to Motherwell. But Motherwell are a completely different beast. They look excellent. I mean, massive crowd. What was it, 8,000 or something that was there on Saturday, which is brilliant to see, obviously. And I don't think Motherwell are going to win the league, but I think they are going to have a massive say in who wins the league.
Tell me why you wouldn't think they could win the league.
Because of the squad. I think that Hearts, Celtic and Rangers will strengthen in January. Mm-hmm. Now, Motherwell will look to bring in players as well. They've mm-hmm. got the Lennon Miller money.
Which will make them better, like Hearts, Celtic and Rangers?
Yeah.
Six, seven clean sheets at home in a row?
Yeah. No, listen, like, I would love it if there was a four-way shootout for the title. I think mm-hmm. that would be fantastic. I'd love to see Motherwell up there, like, having a chance of winning.
Do you know where I just think the fault are a little bit when they go to, like, say, Ibrox and Parkhead, yeah. Everybody compliments them in the way they play, but they can't pick the 3 points up.
Yeah, I mean, they were unlucky. They were unlucky at Ibrox. 100%. They should have had a penalty.
100%. Doesn't mean to say they've scored it.
Yeah.
Right. But I think that's just a wee tweak. See if, like, say Hearts are taking on Celtic and Rangers and they're now confident in beating them. Now, I know Motherwell schooled Celtic last week, midweek. Absolutely schooled them in football at home. I think that's the wee thing that's missing with Motherwell. If they can go to Ibrox and they can get the big results, and they can go to Celtic Park and get the big results, you wouldn't be foolish to turn around and say Motherwell couldn't win the league.
Huge game on Saturday though. Hibs v Motherwell at Easter Road. I think that's going to be a cracker.
Yeah.
An absolute cracking game, because Hibs are obviously on a good run of form. 3-1, they beat Kilmarnock on Saturday. Johan with a couple of goals, McGrath as well. And if Hibs can win on Saturday, puts them above Motherwell and just a point behind Rangers.
Yeah, they're on a good run, as you say. They've got a good squad. Excuse me. They can score goals, right? They're starting to really motor now. David Gray will always get backed in the transfer window as well, so he'll add to that. I think we've got a great exciting league, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, I keep going back to it, I know people might argue, I think in the football eye, Motherwell are by far the best. But we've got teams up there. Hearts got a great chance to go and win the league this year. Celtic and Rangers all of a sudden came from nowhere under this new manager. You got Motherwell playing great football. You look at Falkirk, just into the league this season, sitting proudly in sixth. And then you look down the bottom there, and the cup winners, St Mirren, are third from bottom.
Yeah.
So it shows you how good this league is this season.
Kilmarnock, obviously Chris Doolan remains in charge at this moment in time, but chat is Robbie Nielsen is the favourite for that. I think the fans are probably all sort of getting behind Robbie Nielsen as well. Do you think he'd be a decent appointment?
Yeah, I like Robbie. I think he's got a good knowledge of game, good experience and everything about him. I think he would be a good pair of hands to get in there. I think that he'd be a good manager to play under. It'll be interesting to see. Look, they have to move now. I've not been disrespectful to Chris, and I know the job that he achieved at Partick, and I think he was going in there as a under-19s coach, yeah, or whatever. And I think it's a wee bit unfair, and I'm just keep him going, especially when he's down there. He's tried his best, but I listened to his interview this morning, and he's right. He says, look, I've worked with the squad. I've got them to where they are. Somebody just needs to kick them on and they'll be okay. So he believes that they'll be okay. And I think you need, right now, they need an experienced guy to get in there and just turn that club right around. Because that club's crying out for an experience. Not an experiment, an experience for me.
And final game of the weekend, fortunate Falkirk continuing with their good fortune by beating Aberdeen by a goal to nil. It was Jimmy Tilleen's final game in charge. Despite winning the Scottish Cup, as I said earlier on, it's been grim. It's been grim watching Aberdeen for more than a year now.
Yeah, my fellow colleagues slaughtered them on Saturday, calling them boring. And he left them without a name.
I mean, they are, though. I mean, they're not a good watch. John, were you at the game on Saturday?
Aberdeen are poor. They were really, I mean, Falkirk slaughtered them. It wasn't a 1-0 game, it was a 2, it was a 3-0 game. Just with a bit more conical finishing from Falkirk would have put them a bit to the sword. But Aberdeen,
didn't have a single shot on target.
Scott Bain didn't have anything to do at all in the match. And the McGlynn Reaper strikes again. That's Russell Martin out the door. Stealing out the door. Wilfried Nonsi be next.
Who's next?
It could be Nonsi if he doesn't go this week.
Next week, it's Falkirk Celtic.
Falkirk Celtic at the Falkirk Stadium.
Right, but here's another thing we talk about. The Celtic manager, and we talk about players and everything taking responsibility, right? I've spoken to guys like Marvin Bartley on this show, who's went up against Aberdeen, and it assured me they'd be okay. And I says, why have they got to be okay? Because they've got a real good squad of players. They've got good players, right? Surely the players at Aberdeen must take responsibility as well.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
Right. You just can't keep all saying, I know the buck stops at the manager. I know that. But sometimes the players have got to take a wee bit of responsibility. Because if you're honest, Aberdeen squad just now, and everybody was crying out, he's got to change his formation, right? He did change his formation.
He played four at the back and on Saturday there.
Yeah, he's.
I mean, he was playing Graham Chanet.
I thought it was wild, by the way. Like, Shinny playing it right, was playing against Kyrie Wilson, who's one of the fastest players in the league, and playing Shinny out at left back was wild.
I thought, yeah, odd. I think the writing was on the wall. I think obviously because he got the cup win, that gave him a wee bit more. But Aberdeen are still a big club. There's a lot of money at Aberdeen. Mm-hmm. He spent a lot of money at Aberdeen. Dave Cormack has obviously got deep pockets as well. Who should Aberdeen appoint as their new manager?
Oh, I don't know.
Peter Leaven's in temporary charge.
Yeah.
He's come in and done a decent job before. So you got a shout again at the end of the season?
No, I don't think you can do that if you're Aberdeen. You're right. I think the Aberdeen manager, Jimmy Tilleen, kept it.
Will he be looking at will they be looking at what's happening at Motherwell and thinking, aye?
See if you're, and I hate to say this, because I don't want this guy to leave. And you touched on it there, 8,000 against St Mirren at Fir Park. The crowds are coming back. They're loving it. They're loving his football, everything about it. So we don't certainly want to lose him. But if you're Aberdeen and you want to look onto the Scottish market, he's come in and made such a big impact. You then go down and look at the job that the guy along the road has done at Paisley, right? So there's two candidates right away.
John McGlynn.
I was just about to say that. You look at the job that John has done throughout the years at Falkirk and even still achieving now. So if you're getting in the Scottish market, there's three guys must come into your radar. Must.
John, you worried?
I don't think so. I don't think John, you know, John's not an attractive, like for supporters, John's not an attractive manager. You know, they just see his age.
If he does, he sell up my bit of makeup.
Unless he's kicking about with Cavda Goosenu as well.
He's got his Stone Island.
Exactly. He's all over that. But I don't think for supporters, you know, from the outside in, like, John's not an attractive manager. Someone like Stephen Robinson, and of course, Jens Bertelascu are, because they're the young thing on the market. But yeah, I think John will see out his career at Falkirk. He's 64 now. I do think you.
If Aberdeen want him, John McGlynn will go.
You think
he would turn down Aberdeen?
John, you're not finished at 64.
Sorry, Gas. Yeah,
behave yourself. There's Celtic fans on here clamouring for Martin O'Neill. He's 73.
That's very true.
Come on. If you're good at your job, it doesn't matter what age you are.
Does this mean the comeback for Gordon DL in management is on?
No, not at all.
We'll see what happens over the next wee while. Back-to-back games for Aberdeen against Rangers. As we mentioned, only three games on in the Championship at the weekend. Down to the weather, Ayr United, Queen's Park, Dunfermline, Ross County both off. Ross County appointing Stuart Kettlewell as manager as well. He's back in a job before Kilmarnock have replaced him. So.
I know, no surprise. Merry-go-round is called.
A bold draw between Airdrie and Raith Rovers. 0-0 it was. St Johnston, I knew this was going to be a tight game. It was just 1-0 against Arbroath, an important win. Arbroath had been on a cracking run, and I was really impressed with them a few weeks ago at East End. So I knew it'd be a tight match, but St Johnston managed to get over the line. And a big 3 points. And it was nearly going to be a bigger 3 points, because for a long time Partick Thistle were behind against Morton. But then Tony Watt pops up with a last gasp winner, and they take it by 3-2. So big win for Mark Wilson, because again, Partick had a few wobbles in the last couple of weeks as well.
It was important, especially with St Johnston winning. And to be fair, I think what
it was four without a win before Saturday.
Yeah, what will really please Mark is they were 2-0 down at half time.
Yeah.
And we're all thinking, oh, this is, the bubble may burst. We were having a sweep to see when he was coming back on his show. But all credit to him, he made a couple of tactical decisions, a couple of substitutions. Tony Watt, that experienced guy, it's played with, was it 9 clubs? Scottish clubs?
Something like that.
Was that on our quiz?
I can't remember.
I'm sure it was. It was either here or Beat the Pundit, but I'm sure it was here.
Okay.
And he comes on, shows his experience and gets a winner. That's a brilliant result for Partick.
It is, yeah. Morton have appointed Ian Murray as well as their manager. Thoughts?
Experience.
Basically him and Dougie Imrie have swapped jobs, kind of.
Exactly, yeah. He's been about. He knows the leagues. It'll be interesting to see. Right time, will they get the backing? I know their chairman stepped down.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how they revamp that situation down there, boardroom all the way down. But yeah, I think a lot of Morton fans will be happy with the Ian Murray appointment.
Only two games in League One. Kelty Hearts drew 1-1 with Alloa, and it was 2-0 Stenhouse Muir in favour of them against Queen of the South. So Steny go top of the shop, but Inverness do have two games in hand, and they're only a point behind Queen of the South, actually. Only 3 points behind Steny as well. So that was a huge game on Saturday. Alloa remain in the playoffs, even though they haven't won in the last four matches, and Kelty Hearts closed the gap a wee bit on COVID. Rangers, just 3 points behind them, and Hamilton, obviously, who have been taken over now, so hopefully brighter times ahead.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it's a great Christmas for everyone concerned with Hamilton Accies, and I hope they do, because they're a brilliant little club, so... Upwards and onwards.
Most patronising thing you've ever said. It was extremely patronising.
Cheers.
In League 2, Clyde 1, Forfar 1. Spartans 2, Dumbarton 0. Big result for them. And 1-1 between Stranraer and Edinburgh City. So that means, looking at the table, Spartans stretched the lead to 8 points ahead of East Kilbride. East Kilbride do have a game in hand, obviously, because their game against Elgin was off. But Spartans are going to be tough to dislodge at the top of that table.
Yeah, they're starting to get the points at the right time.
Three wins in a row.
Put a little bit of pressure on East Kilbride.
Whereas East Kilbride are three without a win. So, you know, there's been a bit of turnaround there. Edinburgh City remain bottom, 5 points behind Dumbarton. Right, let's do some refereeing decisions, shall we?
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
Right, for a change, nothing much happening in the Celtic Rangers game. I thought it was all fairly straightforward. Anything that stuck out for you?
No, for the first time in a long time. It wasn't about the referee, it was about the two managers for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't think there was really much happening there. Dundee United, again, nothing much really happening. Hearts Livingston, the foul on Beningame. What did you make of that?
It's a sore one.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a red.
Okay.
Right. Are you happy?
We can move on. Okay. Kilmarnock Hibs, right. David Watson's red card. Now, I think he's unlucky. Don't get me wrong, it's a sore one, right? Mm-hmm. It's a sore one, and he does catch him. He's clearly trying to go for the ball, though, and he's mistimed it. I don't think that's a red card. I think it's a yellow card.
I think it's the height.
It's never going to, like, there's no point in appealing it. It's not going to be overturned.
No.
I think if he gets a yellow for that, everyone's like, fair enough. I really, really worry about not everything's a red card. Like that, I just don't think that's a red card.
No, but the laws are completely different. And in our day, that's a good tackle.
but you can see what he's trying to do.
100%, he's going for the ball. I agree with you, right? But I watched it about three or four times, and I'm thinking a little bit.
It's a sore one.
The minute you go that sort of a little bit higher in the ankle, you're asking for trouble. I'm not sure at all.
I think he's been a bit unlucky. I think a yellow card would have been enough there, to be perfectly honest with you. But anyway, the Hibs penalty, Thompson on McGrath. Any complaints?
Oh no, it's a stonewaller.
Yeah,
that's a stonewaller.
Right, Motherwell.
The Kilmarnock one wasn't a penalty kick. The one the lad appealed for, he went through.
And oh yeah,
I think he hit the ball or it was never a penalty.
Motherwell St Mirren. So Freckleton and Watt. There was a head collision.
Honest, I'm embarrassed for him. By the way, he's been one of the best players of the season so far.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he's got everything in his locker. This boy, he'll go into bigger and better things. Look, know what the argument's going to be? Oh, the head went to the head. I'm sorry. I would feel embarrassed if that was me. I really would. And I don't like to see it. As much as, you know, you clash together, you're never going down like that. Right? There's not enough force in that for you to throw yourself back like that, right? It's poor from the lad. And I hope he puts it out his game, because he's been absolutely brilliant.
Do you think he's got a chance of a call-up for the World Cup?
Oh, the way he's playing, he's sensational. He's absolutely sensational. I think that he'll be on the radar.
Yeah.
He's got to be. Do you know what I mean?
There was also Gogic, challenge that Gogic made. Who do you think?
He's my palace team at school. I'll probably see him the day. There was. I thought he was a wee bit dangerous. It was a wee bit dangerous. It was sort of a the lunge type, the height he went in it as well.
So you're changing your mind for the David Watson one, Kilmarnock?
Look, I'm not changing my mind. I take that there's completely.
I know they're different challenges.
Yeah. I think the Gogic one was correct, and I thought the David Watson one was correct. I'm sorry, I'm sticking with officials this
week. Okay, right, that's fine. Nothing much happening, John. Falkirk, Aberdeen, there wasn't anything really.
Nah, apart from managers getting sacked.
That's yeah, right, exactly. Apart from managers getting sacked. Right, let's do some Who Dares wins then, shall we? So, first one of 2026, I'll go up against Daz. We bid against each other on a certain topic, and whoever gets the whoever goes highest gets right. to go.
Oh, my music's not working for some reason.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I don't know why it's working.
Oh, well, John.
Oh, that's because you've been late in, John.
Sounds like a John problem.
Yeah, it does sound like a John problem.
So, currently, it's 10 to the pundits and 6 to me, / Gabs. It's me to bid first this week, I believe. And what is the topic?
All right, sorry, I'm just too busy preoccupied trying to get my music working here. Right, okay, today's topic is 19 goalkeepers have played in an Old Firm game since 2010. How many can you name?
19?
Aye.
Fucking name a lot of them, I'll tell you. Oh, 2010, right?
Since 2010. I'll go 10 then.
You go 10?
Yeah, nice okay, starter for 10.
Daz?
He's hoping I go 11. I don't know if I've got 11 in me.
Well, I mean, if you're not a shite bag, you would hit 11 in you.
Hold on. Since 2010.
There we go.
Right, done. Easy
working.
Did you watch The Great Escape over Christmas?
It was
New
definitely
year?
On
it
somewhere.
It was on.
It.
I watched about it.
Did you watch? I mean, yeah. I think you should have had a bingo card of what films are going to be in. Oh. All the Indiana Jones films on. Yes. All the Back to the Future films
although
on.
Although the shite Indiana Jones film was on yesterday.
Oh, was it? The Crystal
Skull oh, shite.
John, repeat that question.
Right, sorry, Daz. We're too busy talking about
Old Firm.
19 goalkeepers have played in an Old Firm match since 2010. How many can you name?
And are you including the two that played yesterday?
Aye. So there's two for stars.
Oh, okay, I'm going 11 then.
Fine, I'll go 12.
I don't know if I've got 13. Go, I'll give you.
Okay.
Going 12. Right, okay, Stephen, you're ready to name your 12?
Yeah.
Okay. Right, here we go then. Right,
well, you've got only a space of 7, and 7's hard.
What do you mean? Yeah. Ah, no, that's fine. Right, Butland and Schmeichel.
Right, okay, Butland and Schmeichel. Easy ones to start. Off with both right, obviously.
Are we not getting the noise, John?
Yeah, it's my buttons.
There we go.
There's something going on with my buttons.
There's something wrong with your buttons. Right. Right, I'm just going to.
You need this because you're 4 behind me.
I am struggling a wee bit here, I think. So. Hey.
Ah, oh, for God's sake, what's going on here the
day? So we'll go Alan McGregor.
Alan McGregor, yeah.
Phone Jim White, he'll do.
He'll know. Wes Fotheringham.
Well, there's a one in the bag. There you go, correct. 4 down.
Right. Okay.
8 to go.
8 to go.
And you've got 2 of the easiest ones.
I'll go Fraser Forster.
Correct.
Nah.
I'll go Craig Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
I will go Doris de Vries.
Oh. You took a wee chance here.
That's 7.
I think he played. Did he not play in the game that was 5-1? I think. Because he was Brendan Rodgers signing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Craig Gordon might be. Anyway. How many am I on?
You're on 7.
Right, so 5 to go. Shit. right.
I think you'll get to about 10.
Yeah. Try to think of people.
2010.
Since 2010. So, yes. Celtic goalkeeper since 2010. I mean, Craig Gordon was there for ages.
Yeah.
Forster was there for ages.
Yeah.
So, am I missing obvious ones?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's why I thought you'd get to 10, no problem. 12's a bit difficult.
Yeah. Well, I got. Did you think I'd get Doris de Vries?
I don't think I would have.
Who are the Rangers goalkeeper? Is it just McGregor all the time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Played every week. Number one.
Rangers are tough. Rangers goalies are tougher because, you know, McGregor was in the sticks for so long.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So there's more George. Celtic. There's more Celtic ones.
You're struggling in seven.
Yeah, no, I am struggling at seven. I'm trying to think of Celtic goalkeepers. But again, Craig Gordon was there for ages. Forster was back and forth a couple of times as
missing
well.
You're a massive one.
Am I?
Aye.
A massive. I can't believe I've not got it.
Really?
I'd love to give you it just to spur you on for the next couple.
Don't do it though, Daz.
No, okay. Don't.
Let him suffer.
A really obvious one for Celtic.
Massive. I cannot believe you're not getting this one.
Oh, Joe Hart.
There you go.
Yeah,
Joe
Hart. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Eight.
I'm struggling. I'm mega struggling.
Spelt something.
Was there not a young boy played?
Young man.
Connor Hazard.
Oh.
Connor Hazard.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Daz, you got any?
Scott Bain must be one.
Scott Bain is one, yeah.
Who else?
You've got three more to get for Celtic.
Give us a clue.
The oldest one, 2010, I think.
Wasn't he David Marshall?
Regular number one, not.
Is that Boric? No.
Boric is the oldest.
I thought he was just missed out.
He just got in there. Boric is understudy for a long time.
Oh, Zaluska.
Shit.
If I'd got Boric, I'd have got Zaluska.
Short term Celtic goalkeeper, wasn't about for long. Bought is a kind of replacement for Craig Gordon.
Where from?
Aye.
Greek.
Aye, they had a nightmare, did they not? Barkas.
And the final one, still in the books at Celtic.
Still in the books at Celtic?
He's played one game, one old firm game.
Sinisalo,
yeah. Put one old firm game. The Rangers ones are a bit tougher. Al McGregor's understudy for a long time.
I was trying to think of this, I couldn't think. Andy Firth.
I got a couple of Scotland caps as well.
McLaughlin. Yeah.
McLaughlin's one of them, but it's not the one I was looking for.
Cammy Bell?
No, he's not played a role for me.
Right, give us some more.
He played for Livingston as well, played for Hearts.
McLaughlin.
Played for Cardiff as well.
Alexander.
You never get Steve Simonson, so I'll just.
Anyway, it's a victory for the Dazzler.
Yeah, the other Rangers one, Jack Alnwick, Robbie McCrory, and Liam Kelly.
Should have got
Kelly. Right. Mass footballer. Let's try them. Right.
Who are you? Which are the last questions? I can't remember.
I can't mind either. We know they aren't international, they aren't playing anymore, they don't work in the media, they've not managed a team and they're not a goalkeeper or a midfielder. They haven't played for Celtic, Rangers, Hibs or Hearts. That's what we know.
Yeah. I'm just looking for my music as well. It's all gone, like, someone's been in here during the new year and messed with everything, and everything's gone.
I've actually forgot what you said there.
They aren't an international, they're not playing anymore, don't work in the media, mm-hmm. They've not managed a team, and they're not a goalkeeper or a midfielder, and they haven't played for Celtic, Rangers, Hibs or Hearts.
Right, so, are you a striker?
Are you a striker?
Yeah, sorry, my apologies.
So this person was a striker. Okay.
Right, okay.
Sorry, that was the wrong button. He's better go.
Aye. There you go.
Right, okay. Come on, Stephen, you've got a question. Striker that's not worked.
Yeah. So.
Doesn't work in the media.
So we can rule out John being a lazy bastard. Have you played for Falkirk?
Aye. Well done.
You bastard.
Well done.
A striker that played with Falkirk.
Yeah, yeah,
You're such a lazy bastard, John. You're such a lazy bastard.
How far back do you think he's going to go here?
Well, he's not playing anymore.
Right. He's not an internationalist.
Yeah.
Right. He's not... What else are he?
Not played with Celtic, Rangers, Hibs or Hearts.
I'm thinking somebody like Simon Stainrod.
I mean, before my time.
When
did he play? Was he 80s? He was
with the famous people at Falkirk, weren't he, John?
Early 90s. Super Simon played.
Kev and all that. They were running about that time, weren't they?
Did you play for Falkirk in the 90s?
Aye, go for that.
Did you play with Falkirk in the 90s?
That's a good question. I'm just going to have to double check this because...
I'm trying to work out, by you're clicking there, how many? A Falkirk striker in the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it could be anyone. It could be David Moss. I mean, David Moss.
He played for Dunfermline as well, didn't he?
He did.
Right. Striker. Hold on. Not an internationalist, right enough. See, I'm thinking of all the strikers in the 90s when I played.
Yeah, so it would have been like... It would be like when Falkirk were kicking about the First Division and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh! Who playing all the teams? I played against Falkirk many a times in those times.
Right.
Who would play up front with Falkirk in the 90s?
I'm going to look at something. I'm going to look at the team for the 1997 Scottish Cup final because I know that Falkirk.
I
could give you the team off the top of my head.
Strikers were Kevin McAllister, Scott Crabb, and Paul McGrillen.
Oh,
well, Paul McGrillen's sadly not with us anymore, so I think you can rule him out.
Yeah, Crabb played with Hearts.
Mm.
Didn't he? Scott Crabb played with Habs.
And Kevin McAllister
played
with
Habs. It's not him.
So that rules them out. I mean, unless it's Gerhard Fellner.
he's an assistant at Austria Vienna or something.
Is it Kevin Twaddles? No, not too late.
Kevin Twaddle.
Remember him?
Yeah. Aye, didn't play for Falkirk though.
Did he not?
No.
Who did he play with?
Did he not?
Motherwell.
Yeah, no, but I thought
Kevin Twaddle played with Falkirk, did he not?
No.
I thought he played with Falkirk.
Mark Twaddle played for Falkirk, not Kenny.
Too many Twaddles.
Yeah.
Too many Twaddles.
Right, hold on, so what we got?
So this was a Falkirk striker in the 90s. See if it's David Moss.
Hold on.
Can't be David Moss.
Because we've got a question each. Was he a prolific goal scorer? Were you a prolific goal scorer?
That's a hard way to define that, isn't
it?
Did he score lots of goals?
Aye, was he a...
Did he score lots of goals?
Right, people would say to me, Gordon Dell, did you score lots of goals at Wraith? Yeah, yes. Aye.
Did he score lots of goals at... did he score lots of goals at Falkirk?
No.
Right.
No.
Right, so you've got one more... I'll give you one more question, because you've...
I still think... Stainrod and people...
Nah, but they'd have scored goals. Like, Simon Stainrod would have scored a lot of goals, will he not? Let me see.
We Sammy McGivern, all them were earlier.
Super Sam.
They were earlier.
See if it's somebody that I didn't. Do I know this person, John? Are people going to. Like, are people going to know who this person is?
Aye.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's one of the. It's one of the favourites. Who's a big centre forward that played with Falkirk? You got it?
No. But what about somebody like Colin Samuel?
Oh, that's a shout.
Colin Sam. Oh no, he was an internationalist.
Was he?
Played with Trinidad and Tobago.
Oh. Right, come on. We'll get it in it for next week anyway. We'll have this in.
No chance.
We'll have this in. Oh.
Well, listen, leave your comments on YouTube. I think we've given you enough to be getting on with here. It isn't Colin Samuel because he played 24 times for Trinidad and Tobago. So
right.
It's not him. Let's move on to the quiz then, shall we?
Yeah.
We need a board, John.
Ah, no!
Oh, start the new year as you mean to go on by being a lazy bastard and shite at your job. So there you are. Great stuff. We'll just sit and wait just now until he brings the boards through. So it's currently 11-10 to me.
Oh, and I'm winning 11-6. Well, the pundits are winning 11-6 in there.
Yes.
So I need this to equalise
to draw level.
Okay, don't
we're just waiting on John.
If he ever gets in.
If he ever
I
gets
wonder
in.
Who that Falkirk guy is.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, don't worry about rubbing it out, John. We'll just write small.
No,
we'll just write small.
John, what are you doing, man?
He's having a fucking nightmare.
You're having a shock.
There you go. Throw one over, mate. Thank you.
Right,
I need this. John spilled my coffee on my jumper.
John, turn back to his
looking.
Back to his cave.
Oh, we're not getting one of these shitty seas. Right, say what you say.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, John, get them out. They're shit, man.
Right, you might not even get to it.
Oh, thanks, John.
Right, okay then. Right. You know how the game works.
We've had loads of time to explain it.
Okay, all right. So let's find out what your questions are going to be this week. Right, I'm out of breath. God, I need to get fit in the new year. Right. For question number one, who was the last full-time manager prior to Jimmy Thielen at Aberdeen?
Full-time?
Full-time, yeah.
So, right. I know that. I know that, baby. Come on. You've got that in your locker, you know. You're right, John. Might not get there. I might be cruising there. We said a nightmare. He said a nightmare.
Aye.
Right, choose your work. Oh, there, you said a nightmare. I'm sure you've had it.
I've gone for Neil Warnock.
Neil Warnock.
Yeah.
Daz, who have you went for?
Barry Robson.
Barry Robson?
Shit.
Neil Warnock was only a caretaker manager. Sorry,
go!
Stephen. Well, I'm not sorry.
Here we go.
Question number.
I nearly wrote Stephen Glass. That'd have been worse.
Oh, God, Stephen Glass.
I thought you were going to write Jim Goodwin.
Stephen Glass is Robbie Keane's assistant.
Is he?
Ferenc Varos, I'm sure he is.
Yeah, something mad like that, isn't it?
I thought you were actually going to say Jim Goodwin. Right, come on,
right,
John.
Okay, Boyd. Next question is, in terms of the alphabet, who is club number 42 in the SPFL? In terms of the alphabet, who is club number 42 in the SPFL?
Are you allowed to swear on a podcast?
Yeah.
Are you? Piss off, John. Really, piss off.
How?
Who is 42 in the alphabet?
Aye.
ABCD.
Stephen, I can't believe you're singing the song there. To try and work it out. Have you both got something written down?
What have you got? Stranraer. I have gone for Stranraer.
Did you get an S?
Well,
because you helped me, you went to AVC.
Well, you know what? These are both right. Well done.
I would
well
never have got that, mate, if you hadn't sang it. That. You made an arse of that. But,
there you go. But well done.
Because I went TW.
Right, okay, question number three. Name any Scottish international currently playing with Livingston. Name any Scottish international currently playing with Livingston.
I'm hoping, I reckon he's got about two caps. You wrote something down?
I have.
Right, you both got something written down?
Yeah.
Got something written down?
Okay, alright, we'll just stop that then. Okay.
I've written Danny Wilson.
Danny Wilson.
Fuck's sake.
What have you written, Daz?
Yeah,
Danny Wilson. Are there any other ones?
Stevie May.
Stevie May's never had a Scotland
cap.
He's
had one cap for Scotland.
Christ.
One cap for Scotland, Stevie May.
I wouldn't have gotten that, mate.
There you go.
Okay. Right. You're going to win soon.
So, 3-2 to Daz. Is the decisions being made, Stephen Mill?
No.
No? No. What, go for question number four?
Yep.
Shiva went for top bin. That put me on 5, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Which means I'd won.
No, because I would still have my top bin as well.
Yeah.
But you're in 2.
Yeah.
Right, so it put you in 4.
Yeah.
Right, and I'd
but then
5.
There's still 2 questions to go, though.
All right, okay, I'll stick.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Try tactically work
you.
See
you're trying there, Daz, but...
Wilfred Nancy tactics.
All right, go. I'm not particularly good in the second half.
Yeah.
Right, go.
Right, okay, question number 4 then. Is that what we're up to?
Yeah.
Yes. How many points were Hamilton deducted in 2025?
Oh, for fuck's sake. How many points were Hamilton deducted?
Aye.
You got it?
No.
Did we get 2 either way?
No.
Oh, you must, John.
No.
Nah, hold on.
Our closest 2 gets the point.
No.
Closest two gets the point.
Right. Okay.
What have you gone for? 20, bastard. What are you going for? One of them. You need to pick one of them.
Right, what have you got down in your board there?
Right, I'll go 28.
Fuck off. I've gone 28 as well.
You both went 28.
Yes. Yeah.
You both wrong.
Ah, what was it?
30.
Ah, yeah, I rubbed 30.
Oh, amazing.
Right, so what are we at? 4-3.
4-3, yeah.
Right, okay, the next one is your favourite. It is, I see what you see. It's bad.
This is the final question.
This is the final question.
Can I go top gun rather than this? Top bin?
You can go top bin if you want, yeah.
Rather than this?
Yep.
Can I see it first?
No.
No.
You need to make a decision.
You need to make a decision here.
I'll never get that, and you will.
So you're going to have to go for your top bin.
I'm going top bin, John,
right,
yeah.
Okay, you go for
it. Steve, I'd have stuck with 30.
Yeah. But you didn't though.
Right, okay.
I'm going top bin.
You're going top bin.
Yeah.
Right. Okay then, Daz. Your top bin question today is... It's about your dear friend, Mark Wilson.
Don't ask me how many games he's won at Partick.
No.
I'll get a league table.
I'm going to ask you, what was Mark Wilson's squad number at Celtic?
I think I know this, John.
No, you don't.
I had day. And the reason why, because he gave me a strip, and I always remember.
He gave you a strip?
Aye, he gave me a strip for a charity.
Oh, right, okay, right, okay.
And I always remember the number on it because I slaughtered him for it. I could be wrong.
Write it down.
I've wrote it down.
Right, okay, right, fine. Right. That's what you're writing down.
This is a big moment in time. I've wrote down, cause he never got the number 2, he went number 12. Yeah! I know my old friend.
Steven, you're going to have to go for your top bin here.
No, I'm beat.
Oh, you beat?
I'm beat. He's 3 ahead of me. Because he got his top bin.
Oh, was he 3? I thought, because you messed up that story as well. Oh, well done, Daz. No! There you go.
Can I see the, say who you are?
You want to see the see? You want to see the see you? Yeah, URL. Just stick right. It up there.
Right, don't tell any. Mouse arm muscles. Mouse arm muscles.
What's arm muscles? I've got it.
Rat arm muscles. Rat hand muscle. Rat hand muscle bicep. Right. Is that mouse called song?
Yes.
Mini.
Right. Mini.
Mini arm. Many hand muscle.
Played for Stranraer.
Yeah. His name is Stuart Little. So
Stuart Armstrong.
Yeah.
See, I can't get the characters. You can, but it doesn't matter. It's all over.
There you go.
It is all over for another week. This has been the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Reminder, Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the air every single night from 6 p.m. And yeah, the guys will be taking your calls. I'm sure it will be a very, very busy week. Couple of matches tomorrow night, Rangers versus Aberdeen, Livingston against St Mirren. All the build-up and all the reaction on Wednesday night show to that. And of course, the guys are back on Saturday as per usual. We'll be back next Monday for another Big Scottish Football Podcast. So thank you very much for all your comments. Keep them coming in. Any comments on this week's show, then you can get involved there on YouTube and Spotify and a whole host of other places as well. But from the lazy bastard that is producer John, thank you very much for listening. Gordon DL, thank you very much. From me, Stephen Milt. We'll catch you next week on the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Cheerie bye. Bye-bye.